Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to Come We'll Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How you doing this week, girls?
Good.
Great, great. I've been, for some reason, watching the Alien prequels,
oh.
The first of which is really bad. Like, Prometheus, like, I started watching it, and then I started, like, imagining us doing a bonus podcast that was just me recounting it to you guys, which is, like, a weird... I don't know what happened in my brain that seemed like a good idea, but it did
I'm
help.
Taking that as like you were like having a fantasy. You were like, I wish I had a captive audience to explain exactly what I didn't like about Prometheus.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'd love to.
Did that one get good reviews?
I think decent review. I don't know.
It felt like people said good things about it, but then you and our other friend were both like, no, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, it really hits some pet peeves because I always go into like an ancient alien situation like, ooh, convince me. Like, I love, like, you know, I went to grad school in ancient history. Like, I'd love somebody to talk to me about the gods being aliens. And then it's always like no one even puts in like a tiny bit of effort to make it a tiny bit plausible. And it drives me up a wall. So it did not put me in charity, but it was quite a bad movie, I think. Overall, otherwise. And the aliens are so jacked. They all look like
gross.
They are Wardlow. Like,
that's awful. That's really awful.
They're like wearing loincloths and there's like muscles standing out all over their bodies. And you're like, why is this alien so jacked? Like, nothing is like this in nature. Like, what kind of alien gym steroids have happened here? I don't know.
That's so unacceptable. It's like, that's such a disturbing degree to which the things that we see on screen have become what word am I looking for? What do you think? Bad? Just bad?
Just bad, I guess.
Do you think that's what I meant? Just bad.
But like, why are we trying to give the aliens like body dysmorphia, you know? Like, why are we promoting unrealistic alien body types?
Setting up a future film where someone will fuck an alien.
Oh, maybe.
You think?
I hope not, but maybe.
I was just listening to a little discussion about Alien on Blank Check, but we don't have to get into all that. I'm loving listening to Blank Check. You know what I'll say? They really appreciate Spielberg over there.
That's what you like to hear.
They keep saying things that I'm like, oh, I didn't know everyone was out there saying that. I thought it was just me and Anna. Oh, brother. Leah... You are here to kind of play taps for the summer.
Thank God. Our long national nightmare is over.
Okay, take a deep breath, bitch. You are our final What's Making Me Happy.
We put the demon to bed for another season.
Let's not be mean to it. It's a beloved staple of the podcast.
People love it.
People love it.
Yeah.
All right, well, okay. Hit us with it then, Leah.
So what's making me happy this week is autumn weather.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Stop. Stop. First of all, how dare you?
It's not appropriate. It's not okay. We can't do this bit every week, girls.
I better hear a pivot fast. I better get a quick pivot.
Let me pivot real quick. Y'all heard of a book called Paradisi?
Yeah.
I'm actually just kidding because I was stealing from
that
you
was
last
you're stealing
week.
From Anne.
Mm-hmm.
This woman.
Do you think if we called this segment not "What's Making Me Happy," but like "What's Something You Would Like to Recommend," would she feel
like
better
it more?
About it?
You like recommending things
because that's all it is.
Since when do I like recommending things?
You recommend things a lot. I've got a lot of recommendations.
What are you talking about?
You recommend. I just watched a cult documentary that you recommended, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Like you, I feel like you black out most of the interactions that you have.
Yeah, you're constantly being like, y'all heard about this weed seltzer?
It's like,
you know what would fix this segment for me is when it's my turn, you guys go, Leah, this week you talked about a weed seltzer, and then I'll just talk about that. But like, I think it's like the night of, I'm always like, fuck, I don't want to do this.
You want us to keep kind of a Leah's idea folder that we could just come up with for you? Why don't you just have your notes app on your phone?
Chat. Just what do you mean?
Just when you go into our group chat to recommend something, just also put it in your little notes app, and then you'll have a little file.
Think about it for 9 months.
Nine months.
Oh my gosh!
I think that's a little longer than.
Isn't there like 4 months left in the year? And then we usually start it around May.
Oh, I don't know how much of this damn year we have left. I'll tell you that. It feels like it's lasted a lifetime already. Leah, you have a real damn thing to recommend.
No, it's not something that's recommending. It's something that's making me happy.
Okay.
And
okay.
My legitimate no jokes one is that about 6 months ago, maybe? Yeah, I think that's right. I started going to a extremely woo-woo, embarrassing gym.
Oh, your crunchy gym.
I'm not joking when I tell you that every single class, I have to start it by answering a personal question, which I hate.
What the fuck? So you go to this gym every week?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, it sucks. It's like the thing I hate the most.
Wow. That's A, that's crazy at a gym. And then it's B, crazy that you go to that gym and you haven't even complained about this to this point.
And it's what's making you happy this week. So keep talking about that.
Well,
this is the psychologically
thing that's making me happy
segment.
Yeah. Is that, so every 4 weeks, like the class changes. And so we went through a 4 week phase where we had to, and gym heads do not come at me for how I'm going to describe this. We had to lift weights on an angle. And apparently, whatever muscle it is that you bench like at like a 45-degree angle, I don't have that muscle. I just, or not more, not 45, the opposite of that, whatever the wide one is. Anyways, I don't have that. And so I couldn't bench. Like, I had to, like, the trainer was like, here, start with this weight. And I was like, I can't do it. And she was like, yes, you can. Try harder. And I was like, I literally don't have that muscle. And so it's crazy. This is what's making me happy. And I don't think people are talking about this enough. Do you know if you keep doing something week after week for a long time, you get better at it?
You
and then
grew
you can
the muscle?
It. Yeah. I got the muscle. And now I'm able to do the weight that she assigned me originally. And I look so cool while doing it. If you notice, I'm not That's giving incredible. Me weight numbers because I don't want to hear, like, James Odar is going to be like, that's baby weight. Those are baby weights.
I will say this is a topic we've never been in more danger of receiving a lot of information that we do not need.
Yeah, so don't talk to me
be
about
careful.
My
be
gym
careful.
Class. All I want to hear from people is congratulations and
congratulations
support.
On your muscle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Be like, congrats wow. on your muscle.
I just want to, I just want to say, like, it's one of those things that, like, I feel I need to be reminded.
You don't believe it until it happens.
No. Yeah, you have to be reminded every once in a while that it's like, if you just keep doing it, a lot of times you get better at it. That's crazy. Nobody talks about that.
It's okay to not be able to do something, but then just try and do it anyway. And then, in this way, you grow. Growth mindset.
Yeah.
Hashtag growth mindset.
And that's what I'm always focused on, my growth mindset. Yes.
While hashtag I'm what's swole, making me happy. Hashtag growth mindset. Hashtag getting swole.
While I'm getting that alien jacked body.
Yeah.
Wow. Making and those then you get to out. Be a love interest in the next prequel. They can't fuck an alien in a prequel. That would have to be for a sequel. Right?
Well, you'd think, like, these were, like, humanoid aliens that, like, created the human race. And actually, this particular jacked alien, like, drank a black liquid and then his DNA exploded and he fell into a waterfall. And that's why we exist, apparently. So.
Oh, he was our ancestor.
Well, yeah, he, you know, genetically created us in some way.
He was God. Mm. Well.
Yeah, they say they're trying to meet their makers quite a few times. I didn't care for it.
It does not sound like a good film, but I think it might be good for me to watch that instead of... I went on Max the other day. I'm, like, desperately trying to find something to watch, and I started watching this show called... Oh, man. I don't even know what it's called, but Michael Sheen. That's mm-hmm. who I'm thinking of, right? Michael Sheen plays a serial killer whose son is now working with the police.
I'm in. What's
he's
it called?
Like a medical serial killer. I don't know. It's called like the
a medical serial killer.
Not the prophet. I don't know. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Like the whole time you're watching it, you're like, this is a show that should only exist within the universe of an already like badly written fictional universe. Like this is a show that someone on Gossip Girl should be addicted to. Because you're just like, someone couldn't have sat down and in all seriousness written this script. And just the fact that then you go to, they go to, it's like the classic, you know, serial killer thing. They go to like visit, he goes, the son goes to visit Michael Sheen in prison. I hope it's Michael Sheen. He's the one who's in Good Omens, right? And mm-hmm. yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. He goes to visit him in prison and he's living in one of those like Hannibal sets where it's just like a beautiful, like ornate room. And he was a serial killing doctor. So he's still consulting on cases for like the rich and morally bankrupt.
But he's in prison? He's in a beautiful room in prison?
He's in a beautiful room in prison.
That's not really my understanding of how prison works, but...
No, and it's like in a stylized show like Hannibal, it's like nothing is how anything works. Like, it's like it really, in my opinion, really works. In this show, you're like, but this is just in New York City. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And then, to cap it all off, you're in the room... You turn to the man, and again, it's Michael Sheen. And it's Michael Sheen, and he says, he's like just murmuring things to himself, like, welcome back, son. So, anyway, maybe I should watch the Alien prequels instead.
All right. As Anne said earlier, for some reason, I've deeply got into cult documentaries over the week, and I have absolutely no idea why that's happening, but I've been on every streaming service that I have access to, typing in like cults. What do you have?
What do you got for me? Well, I was thinking, as you were talking about building your muscles, I was like, oh yeah, and in that cult documentary, he like made them get up at 7 every day and do like calisthenics, and they were like, yeah, and you know, it's crazy, but then after a while, you can do like 400 push-ups, and I was starting to think tonight, I was like, should I just start doing like sit-ups every morning? Like,
oh, and they got
like,
you.
I'm not going to join a cult, but you know, they had some good ideas.
We that have one... cult at home?
That one was Stolen Youth, which is the Sarah Lawrence cult. And I do really recommend that. I wish I thought of that before I thought of my gym thing. I could have been like, that's...
I liked your gym thing, though.
No, I liked your gym thing. College cult, though?
Yeah, it's a crazy story. Do you remember when the article came out, like, in New York Magazine? Like, I remember reading it at the time, and it was insane. Yeah. They got, like, a bunch of the kids in the documentary, mm-hmm. so they're all being interviewed about it. And
wow. What platform is this on?
Hulu.
Hulu, yeah.
Hulu, soon not to exist, but we'll use it while we have it.
Why is it shutting down?
No, it's combining with Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I won't have access to it, probably.
None of us are going to have access to anything at this rate. I mean, it's like, just give up. Just give up.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's what's making us happy.
Is this TV show called Prodigal Son?
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
It took me a really long time to go through his IMDb and find it.
That man's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he is.
Prodigal Son, yes. Yes, he turns the son, you find out in the first episode, the son turned the father in.
Wow.
He's the one who called the cops and said, "Dad's about to try and poison you. He's a killer. take him away." Anyway, should we talk wrestling?
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope this goes well. I threw out my back this week. So I keep being like, I can't sit at my desk. So I did this bad schedule. And then I was like lying on the floor for a lot of the show last night. Some of our friends were over at my place, just normies. I have a couple of normie, you know, comments to impart, but had a couple of lovely normies over watching with me. I'm lying on the floor, like rolling things under my back, just like listening to some of the show. So
do you think they're going to enjoy being called normies?
No. No, don't. Hey, guys, don't tell our friends I said that. Don't tell our friends I called them that on this podcast.
I will also disclaim that for some reason that I'm not sure of, I did the absolute worst job of all time, like of watching Dynamite last night. But, like, I stopped watching it in the middle because I couldn't get HBO to stop skipping. So I was like
something crazy was happening on Max.
I don't know. So, I don't know how much I've retained either. So this is going to be a good podcast, I think.
I don't like being the sturdiest leg of the three legs. Well,
come up with a reason you can't be then, Ian.
Otherwise, you're going to be explaining to us what happened last night.
I don't love that.
We're going to have to figure it out together. And it's crazy. There's a pay-per-view this weekend. We're going to be watching a pay-per-view this weekend. And that seems impossible based on what happened. Really, to me. But anyway, let's not worry about it. Let's be confident, and let's put a big smile on, and let's just go for it. So 3-hour Dynamite.
Should we do some power poses?
Do some power poses. Well, I'm worried I'll pull something else, but yeah.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I'll stay still. 3-hour Dynamite this week. Tony, can you find God?
It's unbelievable. 3 hours is so long. And if you're watching on HBO Max, after 2 hours, you have to switch to the Collision stream, which I was sitting there because the like music they play when an event is over is the same as the music they play when they just run out of commercials. And it was literally mid-match. And so I was just like, wow, HBO Max is really out of commercials. And I think Ali was like, yeah, you have to switch the stream. And I was like, they want me to do what?
It's not. It just feels like the kind of thing that, how could it be difficult for you to combine these into one
if you
stream?
If you can usually handle an overrun, why can't you do two different? And here's the other thing that I don't understand about this.
Yeah.
So there was a Collision after Dynamite. We're calling it Collision. But we're still going to have a live 2-hour show on Saturday.
What do you mean?
It's just called something else. It's going to be called like Backstage Brawl or some shit.
I thought the pay-per-view was on Saturday.
No. There's something.
It is.
You know what I'm talking about, though. It's like.
No,
they're doing like a tailgate pre-show on TNT.
Is that the 0 hour?
Oh, is it? Maybe that's what that is. Okay.
It basically is. It's like 0 hour with the matches, but they're also doing a 0 hour on YouTube that's separate and pre-taped. Apparently.
Why? Because they want to get you onto Max.
I think that's right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess TNT just had the time to throw something on television. I don't know.
I don't understand any of the stuff that's happening. And I don't think it's going to matter because I don't think the tailgate stuff is going to be anything that like we're going to be sad to miss. But it is very funny to be like, and you want me to do what?
Yeah. And this 3-hour Dynamite had an overrun, which is crazy.
It's too much. Some of us threw out our backs this week. Okay? So
some of us need to get to bed on time.
Yeah. Well, we all have our own reasons. We think that Tony's behavior was fairly insupportable. 3-hour Dynamite. September to remember. Let's get down to it.
The graphic was kind of crazy, too, didn't you think? I was like, what does this look like? I don't know.
It was
like kind of
early 2000s, right?
Yeah, like, that's my feeling.
I kept trying to figure out what it was reminding me of, and I couldn't land on anything except that it was very like throwbacky. But I kind of liked that a little bit.
Yeah, it just kept distracting me because I was trying to be like, what band had this graphic in the 2000s?
Yeah. Oh, now that you said band, that's going to be getting at me too. Well, anyway, Hangman and Kyle Fletcher open the show with a contract signing. So Kyle Fletcher comes out with Don Callis. I think Don Callis basically comes out screaming about Kenny. Like, that's like the first thing he does when he gets out there. Could that be right?
Yeah, I think Tony Schiavone, I rewatched this right before. Tony Schiavone was like, Hangman, you're on the mic first. And Don Callis was like, wait a minute, I have to have some things to get off my chest.
He's like, yeah, I really have to say, and it's one thing I haven't mentioned before, is that I used to be married to Kenny Omega, but I dumped him for Kyle Fletcher. I dumped him. I dumped his ass.
He got old and slow, so I killed him.
I had this hot little secretary.
I know, and I just
get into that.
Couldn't say no. Hangman and Kyle sit down.
I had a conscious work police romance. No, what was it? Consensual
workplace affair. God.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hangman and Kyle sit down. Hangman tells Kyle, some signing stuff, I don't even know. Hangman tells Kyle that according to the contract that they've signed, if the DCF interferes in their match on Saturday, Kyle will be disqualified from that, but he'll also be stripped of his TNT title. And Kyle was like, I don't give a shit. I can't wait to win a belt from you. And they had a little back and forth, kind of just about Kyle's age, mostly.
It is so funny how every single person who promos near Kyle is like, and he's just a baby. He's in the prime of his life. But he's also a baby.
He's a baby. I've never heard a man's age said more often than in the past 3 weeks. Everyone, every single week is like, and in case you missed it, he's 26. Like, it's like, okay. Already, it's like, there's no more to learn here. Hangman is kind of hitting Kyle with like a, I mean, he kind of was being like, Kyle, I see the good in you. I see all the potential in you. Like, I know that you want to be a strong champion like me, and it's hard for you that you're not ready for that yet. So I guess I'm going to have to kill you at our match. But I hope you'll be a good man someday. And Kyle was like, stop talking to me about being a good man. And instead, say my full name. I have to stop us for a second. We've talked about it before. No one will give me a straight answer. What is the full name that he wants you to say?
I think the Protostar.
Kyle Protostar Fletcher? Or just the Protostar?
The Protostar Kyle Fletcher, I think.
Well, he's getting called that all the time. Like, it's like, what do you mean? What do you want that you're not getting?
Even just like the name Kyle Fletcher. The funny thing is that like people mostly do call him Kyle Fletcher because there's another Kyle in AEW. So like more than most people, he actually does get called by his full name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even really object. Like, it is incredibly funny. It would be so normal to have the catchphrase, say my name. It's very funny to have the catchphrase, say my full name. But every time he says it, it's 5 minutes of my life wasted wondering whether he's getting what he wants or whether he wants something that no one knows to give him. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, is he being like, learn my middle name? Okay.
He's just begging everybody. He's like, please, just say my middle name. It's Colin.
Everyone's like, we don't know what it is.
He's like, he's been cursed. He's like, the curse won't be lifted until someone says my full name with middle name. Just tell me that you want me to, just tell me what the middle name is.
He's Rumpelstiltskin.
I went to his Wikipedia page in case it says it there, but it doesn't, so.
We won't get our answers. Anything you want to say about this feud? They're going to fight.
There was parts of the promos last night that I really liked. I really liked Hangman being like, listen, you're going to lose. You're going to lose this match. And it doesn't matter that you're going to lose because it's okay to lose to me. It's not, it's respectable to lose to me. But what matters is what you do when you lose, which I thought was kind of interesting because of like how bad Hangman spiraled when like he and Kenny lost the tag titles. And so it is kind of like he's like the first major loss like that will like has the potential to ruin you. And I need you to take this seriously. And Kyle's like, I won't. They won't.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
And going back to like him losing the world title to Jericho that first time out and then spiraling after that. Yeah. I liked all those callbacks to like Hangman's early time. Although I feel like I'm a little bit like, yeah, that was really good. That was such a good story. And this story is like, it's fine. You know, it's not that meaty, but I don't object to it.
Well, I think sometimes it's really hard. We've talked about this before that when you are the world champion, I think sometimes it's hard to have the story be about you because it's like you have the thing. And so the story kind of is that other people want the thing. And so Kyle has to kind of carry the story on his shoulders, but he's only 26.
he don't know how. He's just a little boy.
I am 26 going on 27. I know that I'm naive.
You know how everyone is always like loving to break out that like your frontal cortex isn't fully formed until you're 25. Well, I read somewhere that the study that showed that ended when people were 25. So like your brain keeps developing until you're 25, but it might keep developing forever. Like the study stopped. So like, I don't know, everyone who's 24 and keeps like using that as an excuse, like you're an adult, grow up. your brain, all our brains are still growing.
Your grain will be growing, grow your dead.
Okay, so. your grain will be growing. Don't you worry about that.
Listen, in your lifetime, your grain's gonna grow quite a bit. So. Oh, total breakdown over here. I think those are good comments. Honestly, I was feeling a bit uninspired by the whole thing, so I didn't even pay that much attention to some of that. And you're right, it was those were good callbacks. And I do like that Hangman's angle is like, I'm kind of trying to be a locker room leader here. Like, you've been on very bad behavior, but I'm trying to look out for you because I know that you can go through a really bad spot and then you can come back out the other side. And it would be nice if you came back out the other side and you hadn't ruined your entire life.
Yeah.
And Kyle's like, oh, I'll ruin my entire life. And it's like, yeah, that's what your early 20s are all about, you know? So that makes a lot of sense. I feel bad saying it, but I am going to say it because I have been thinking about it for a while. I think Hangman's yelling a little too much recently. Yeah. I think we could yell a little less.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
No, I don't disagree.
You know.
Yeah. Our normie friends were like, was his voice always like that? Because they used to watch the show, and it's like, well, he's being passionate right now, but I agree, he could take it down a notch.
His volume goes, like, out of whack when he feels big feelings, which is fine, but it has been
well,
a lot.
And I think it's, like, it feels like there's something in the presentation for this belt run, like, where it's just, like, the belt holder is, like, has to yell. To prove that he's tough. And it's like, I like it more when you don't yell as much. You can yell sometimes, but I think we could rein it in a little. I think we may have gone too far down the yelling road.
Just use it sparingly. You know, you don't need to oversalt the stew.
Exactly. And in fact, you shouldn't, you know, because then people, their mouths get really dry when they eat it. And that's the
and,
last
you know,
thing you want.
People can add their own salt, you know?
Yeah. So, you can always put salt on the table, yeah. So, and a lot of food is oversalted these days. So, although actually a lot of food is undersalted too, and that's more of an issue in my opinion. So, so I don't really know why I said the first thing, because undersalting is a much more serious issue in the day-to-day of this country, at least.
Yeah, but it's easier to fix.
It is easier to fix. It is, but
I don't know how that translates to yelling.
So Hangman, just use the right amount of salt is all.
Do you think that like the metaphor that I'm trying to do is that like when I'm watching Hangman give a promo and I feel like he's not yelling enough, then I just start yelling in my own house, kind of hand, like that's the salt on the table is I'm just at my house being like, Kyle, get it together.
Yeah, but you probably don't need to because you have that neighbor who's oversalting your situation so that's egregiously. True. So
that's true. I have a neighbor whose his backyard is diagonal to mine, and that for the past two and a half weeks, he's been blasting classic rock so loudly from 2 p.m. to like between 7 and 9. And it's so loud that in the front of my house, I can't hear the TV. And so last night I was like, I had hit like a stage where I was like, I'm really, it's driving me insane. I'm really going to lose it. And one of our friends was like, call in a noise complaint. And I was like, I don't think you can do that after 9 p.m. until it's like after 9. And they were like, no, you can do it all day. So they were like psyching me up to be like, call. And so I was all ready today when I got home from work. I was like, I'm going to be so brave. I'm not going to let it interrupt the podcast because I was like worried because I podcast from the back of the house. And I got home and he's not playing music. So I think he like, he sensed that I had hit the end of my rope and was like, all right.
He was like, I could feel that someone in this neighborhood's group chat has really been like, call the non-emergency line. So yeah, that's enough.
Okay. Well, I don't know what we're talking about, but yeah, maybe a little less yelling. So later in the show, Scorpio Sky and Christopher Daniels are cutting a promo with Top Flight. Hangman ducks in and is like, hey, you guys are fighting Hetch Sero and Josh Alexander tonight. Just wanted to flag for you. Like, I did make I signed this contract so that the Don Callis family can't come interrupt my match with old Kyle Fletcher, but they're probably going to fuck with you guys. So let's all just be careful out there.
He's doing some locker room leading there, warning people, things to look out for.
He's doing some locker room leading. I want to talk to you about how I perceived that the combination of Scorpio Sky, Christopher Daniels, and Top Flight. I think, we know it's Vice Principal Christopher Daniels. He's wearing that little vest, his little vest suit vest. Being there, what kind of like fatherly towards Top Flight, I was like, he's going to prom. he is chaperoning prom. And Top Flight go to his school. They're his sons. And he's like, guys, you're juniors and seniors. Like, you know, come to prom. It's going to be so fun. And they're like, Dad, we're not going to prom. Take a picture for me. It's your prom.
Let me hit you with an alternate interpretation.
Yeah.
So, Vice Principal Daniels sees Top Flight at outside prom where they're being dropped off by their dad, Scorpio Sky, who Christopher Daniels has a huge crush on.
Oh my gosh.
And he comes over and he's like, you boys look so great. You look amazing. And he's like hanging around a little too much. Top Flight knows what's going on here.
Like, dad deserves so gross. To be happy. Go flirt somewhere else. We have to get into prom.
Fuck my principal.
I love that because I was assuming that they were just already married. But of course, it's much better to take it a step back and to be in that pre-marriage phase.
True though, like eventually when Scorpio Sky and Vice Principal Daniels drop Top Flight off at college, ooh, we're all gonna cry. That's gonna be poignant.
Oh my gosh. Siri play landslide. Anyway, so they have that match that's for entrance into the four-way tag team ladder match at the pay-per-view, and DCF win, and then just everybody beat each other up in this segment. You wouldn't believe the people who are beating each other up. I couldn't even follow it. And actually, people came out in our normie friends who used to watch wrestling and now don't anymore were like, who's that guy? Is that? Hey, wait, who is that? And I was like, yeah, that's Brody King. And they were like, really hard to tell because he's like not wearing black at all. And I was like, yeah, he's wearing something crazy. Everyone is wearing something really weird. So you can barely tell who's here, why they're here. And we found out later why they're all in the four-way. All the four-way teams showed up to fight in the post-match melee. And Hangman came out to save, Top Flight?
Christopher Daniels?
Why would he have been there? He's supposed to be prom. Who's telling the kids to leave room for Jesus if Christopher Daniels is running out of the ring? I don't know. But anyway, Hangman comes out, and then Kyle Fletcher, like, kills him, you know, and is like, I can't wait to win. Guns up. So that's the whole deal, you know, and that's it.
I enjoyed, I think it was Tony Schiavone, might have been, I don't remember who it was that was like, ooh, Kyle Fletcher agreed to leave the DCF home for pay-per-view, but tonight, there's no restrictions. It's like, this tone that was like sneaky, pretty sneaky, sis.
Oh, gosh. That DCF, there are a lot of them. I will say it was startling to our friends how many times they saw Don Callis. Like, the third time they saw Don Callis, they were like, what do you mean that's Don Callis? they weren't mad about it, and I'm never mad about it, but they were astonished.
Yeah. They know it's the numerically most numerous faction of wrestling history or whatever he's saying.
The largest numerical faction in wrestling history. Yeah.
Thank you.
So
I like the most numerous numerical faction.
That takes you into kind of like a Disney song territory. The most numerous numerical faction, and there's like. Okay. Last week, Danny Garcia finally succumbed to the seductions of Jon Moxley and joined the Death Riders. On Collision, there was a little recap of how that came to happen, and then there was a Papagon segment where Kyle O'Reilly expressed his deep disappointment that Danny Boy had sunk so low as to, quote, accept an offer from a sadist.
Okay, Kyle? He said Danny Boy so many times in so many weird voices.
No one could know what he wants us to take from it. And he said that Adam Cole had called him to say that he's also very disappointed in Danny. A great little moment from Roderick Strong, who immediately said, he called you?
I love poor when Roddy, Roddy, like, lets out his, like, jealous, like,
I know,
side, yeah, you know, like,
most
overlooked,
pathetic man.
Yeah.
The more pathetic, the better with Roddy, for sure. Mm-hmm. So he and Kyle challenged the Death Riders to a match, and that match main evented Collision, and they won, and there was like another Daddy Magic was yelling at little Daniel Garcia again, being like, how could you do this to me, don't you love me, and Danny was very unmoved and left with his new family, and I've said here, he finally experienced that greatest of inevitable AEW losses, the loss of a beloved son. Mm-hmm. That is really hard. Mox and Roddy then opened Dynamite with a singles match. I really loved this match, actually. There's something about when Jon Moxley gets in this mode that I just called, like, a whole lot of squirming. he's just in the ring squirming, and it's like, you could never have had any job other than professional wrestler. You were born to do this. No one squirms like you. No one kind of writhes on and around another man the way that you do, with the verve that you have.
The pure animal energy that he brings to so much of what he does. Mm-hmm. When it's working.
When it's working, it's working. And it's working. Fighting. Marina Shafir is ringside. We do get a very funny moment between Marina and who?
Roddy.
Her husband. Her shoot
husband.
They looked
at each other with disdain.
It was so funny, and I was so pleased with them for, it's like, it's just so smart not to be married in kayfabe, you know? Yeah. And like, Taz was like, oh, I think Roddy might have a little crush on her, which I thought was funny and delightful. It's just like, yeah, when Ty tied herself to Sammy in kayfabe, I was like, it's a mistake, and I think these guys are doing better.
Yeah, and I thought it was very sweet, though, that Marina Shafir was finding it very difficult not to grin at him and was kind of having to try and like turn her smile into like a tough girl smile, yeah. but was like, wow, that's cute. It's cute that mm-hmm. it's cute that you yeah. love each other. I love mm-hmm. love. Yeah. And right next to them, who else was loving love? I guess Danny Garcia and Roderick Strong, also nose
Kyle
to nose.
Riley. Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly. Oh God, Jesus.
It was yes. so funny because like when Roddy and Marina were like paired up and like looking into each other's eyes, Danny and Kyle O'Reilly were paired up right next to him, and someone brought into our channel a tweet that was just like had the screenshot and was like, so I think this means that Danny Garcia and Kyle O'Reilly are secretly married as well. And I was like, I literally can't imagine a marriage going worse.
No. No, not at all. Mm-mm. I feel like even though Danny Garcia obviously is very funny, and we've seen like many behind the scenes videos of him with like Isaiah Cassidy being very yeah. funny, you can't imagine anything but Danny Garcia being like, we need to have a serious heart to heart right now, and Kyle O'Reilly is basically just like being the Joker.
Yeah. Yeah. Just doing air guitar while Danny Garcia yeah. gets more and more frustrated. Yeah. yeah.
Danny Garcia is like, can you stop doing bits for 1 second?
I want to talk about our love.
I honest to God wish if I like I know that we talk about how we would book pumps all the time, but if I had money, I would instantly pay them to be in a Big Brother type house where I can just watch a 24-hour feed of their interactions.
We just have one pump dedicated to the Big Brother house, and we keep putting sure. mismatched couples in there, and it's called the Odd Couple Pump, and everyone in the company is just perpetually terrified that they're going to get stuck in there for a week.
You know the Parent Trap, mm-hmm. when they get banished to the cabin yeah. because they won't stop fighting. That's yeah. our it's our cabin yeah. where yeah. we're just like yeah, yeah, literally. Yeah. But people don't really have to do anything wrong to get sent there, and that is probably no. a bit of a problem for morale potentially if we yeah. were paying them as much as we are.
Oh yeah,
because right. people
in
could
fact,
be like,
there's probably like a bonus to go to the cabin, so yeah. They really feel like they can't say no. But the thing is that like they don't understand what attracts us. So, like, they'll be thinking that they had, like, a normal conversation, and it just happened that we saw it and was like, I think there's something there. And they're like, what? I just asked him if he had another soda. Why? How did this happen to me?
It's like, we just throw you in the cabin, just see what happens. Just get to know each other a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. I think just for our own private research, at the end of a stay in the cabin, we should make both wrestlers write a little essay just trying to explain why they think we sent them. And we're like, you have to take it seriously. You have to yeah. try and explain what you think we might have found interesting about the way you interact with this person.
An essay where you explain what you think we saw and then what you learned in the course of the week.
Do you now see it too? Do you see the vision?
And like, the guys that have really thrived under our training programs, they're like, you know, they really, you really learn about your character. You really learn about stuff. Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable and very strange, but if you make the best of it, they really teach you something.
They really teach you something.
The grain keeps growing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The grain keeps growing.
Yep.
Oh, goodness. What else happening here? What else happening here? Okay, Bryan Danielson is on commentary explaining that he no longer believes that Yuta is the future of professional wrestling. So funny.
It is so funny. It's like really disappointed with how his career's been going since he helped murder me.
Girl, you don't have to tell me twice. And Mox has, oh yeah, so Mox wins. Mox is out of control. I mean, he's squirming. He's also hamming, and then what happened to him when he won this match? Like, he, like, clutched his chest, I think, Ann, you said, like, he was having a heart attack. Well, actually, I guess first he popped a couple of push-ups.
Yeah, a couple push-ups, yeah, and then got up and was clutching his chest, which I guess they were chopping each other. He was very red, but it did look like, my heart, I need to go to the hospital.
But he looked thrilled about it. Like, he was like, this one nearly killed me, and I love it. And he had all his sons there because Yuta interfered on his behalf too.
Yeah, ran up and then like interfered and then kind of jogged off, looking over his shoulder in like a very nonchalant way.
I really need another full like Death Riders promo, like with everybody there, because I keep being like, Yuta, how are you feeling about having this new brother, this new cult brother?
Yeah, and he brought a new baby home.
Yeah, I need Renee to go down to the dungeon and talk to all of them down there and just, you know.
And I need Renee to maybe stir up a little controversy, like to be like, you know, I think, you know, in the past, you've certainly been ringside for a lot of John Moxley's matches, but Danny Garcia was ringside for this one. You know, do you have any feelings about that? And I want to see Yuta being like, well, it's important that every member of the Death Riders learn how to be a second.
Yeah.
So yeah. I understand that. And I think I'm still very important to John.
And it would be particularly painful if she really wanted to stir it up to be like, you know, last week on commentary, Bryan Danielson said that he gave up on you. Do you think that Mox gave up on you too? And that's why he had to get Daniel Garcia?
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
She wouldn't do that because that's too mean, but.
No, but yeah. I would kind of love it if Renee ramped up the meanness just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We know she can do it because she's done it with the Young Bucks a little bit, you know?
A little bit, yeah. Just a little undercurrent, yeah.
We also got a bunch of promos for the Mox and Darby coffin match on Saturday. So we got a kind of like a Darby Mox, like a recap of their relationship with a couple of key quotes, I would say.
Yeah, they really, what did they say? He started by saying, like, I love Darby more than
anyone or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's crazy.
So they did a little, so it was a little bit of insight into their past interactions. And then Bryan Danielson interviewed Darby in what I can only call a true comedy segment.
I kind of love if they're going to use Bryan Danielson in a semi-JR role, which no one does it like JR, but Danielson did make some faces that I found extremely entertaining.
He looked really worried throughout.
Really worried, yeah.
Which makes sense. Can any of you... Somebody said, I think what people are saying is that someone said that about, like, on the show, if Bryan Danielson interferes with a match, he gets kicked off the commentary team. Did that happen?
I didn't hear it, but that sounds right. Like, it sounds plausible.
Same.
I feel like I think somebody said that, but I can't trust anything I've read, but I didn't hear anybody say it. But it does make sense because I keep being like, what are they doing with him right now? Because he is like clearly going to interfere. Like they had this whole interview where what even happened in here? I mean, it's like Darby just doesn't, God bless him. But
he was like interviewing him about Everest. So he was like, Darby, like, why'd you climb Everest? And Darby was like, the grind never stops or whatever.
it was a real Darby Allin is climbing the mountain. Why is he climbing the mountain? Hug the mountain.
I was really obsessed with that like very brief clip, like 2 or 3 second clip that showed him in a tent crying. And I was like, can I see that full? You don't have to post it if you don't want to. Maybe just email it to me.
TunnelTalkPod@gmail.com.
Yeah. Any wrestlers want to send clips of themselves crying, really, the email address is always open.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Darby said you can't politic your way to the top of Everest.
I'm pretty
crazy.
Sure that's the only way you get to the top of Everest, basically. I mean, it's like... Most
you pay
people.
Someone a bunch of money, yeah.
Anyway, he's so he's not good at doing these interviews, except for that one time.
That one time he really did. Well, it's like he just loves a work shoot, and he's not good at it, and you shouldn't be doing too much of it anyway.
No, and he did that. I don't remember like the whole story about his uncle who was drunk driving, but he brought that one up. He was like, when I got in that car with my uncle, like, I didn't know he was drunk. And our friends who were there just went, why is he talking about this? And I said, no one could know. Oh, don't worry about it. No one could know.
One of his favorite stories.
Yeah, he loves
it. It's really not relevant in this moment, but.
No.
And then Oh, yeah. No, that's not relevant. Okay, well, I think that's all of it. So then well, they're going to fight on Saturday. Darby was like,
Brian Danielson, you have to give me your word that you won't interfere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't even get there. Yeah.
And then Brian Danielson had, he looked so worried.
And he looked so worried, like, and then he leaned over and he whispered something secret.
Yeah, and then someone on commentary asked him and was like, what did you say? And he was like, that's between me and Darby. Okay. You're crazy. Crazy Brian Danielson. Also, Darby was so intense when he was like, promise me yeah. won't interfere.
I didn't know that you guys had any relation.
Yeah, it's like, what do you care?
I don't know, guys. I don't know. But I'm excited to watch the coffin match. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, that little promo package of them, it was like, oh, right, Mox and Darby are two of the most, like, physically sort of arresting people to watch. It's like they'll do anything, and yeah. It's good
and
stuff.
They've both been on recently, so that'll be great. Yeah. Tony did a big classic pervert spotlight promo that kept getting interrupted by other title contenders from the upcoming pay-per-view match. So Jamie Hayter interrupted, and she cut a little bit of a promo too, where she was, I think, purposefully doing like a Tony cadence. But it really threw me off a little. I was kind of like, what is happening here? And then Chris jumped in and she did a little promo and they're all there. And then I guess the fourth person in the match is Tekla. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then so Tekla came out, but not to do a little promo. She was marching down to the ring for a match versus Queen Aminata. And then we saw the match and I really loved that match. I thought it was extremely fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of chairs coming up from under that ring.
Well, she really, Queen Aminata really pulled the apron. I mean, is it called the apron, the part that comes down?
It's the dust ruffle.
The dust ruffle? Well, I wish it were sometimes like covered in little flowers or something. Wouldn't it? I mean, yeah. Like a country cottage ring. Yeah, she pulled the dust ruffle. She really pulled the dust ruffle up so you could like see how many chairs and tables were under there, which delighted. I love any time we get a glimpse of what's going on under the ring. And then also I then immediately remember the time that the Bucks were like hiding under the ring for like,
for like a long time. They did a whole episode of BTE from under there.
So I immediately thought, I was like, well, they can't have that many chairs under there. There's no room for the Young Bucks. But yeah, I thought this was a total blast of a match, and it's unfortunate that we had to leave in the middle to go open a different stream. And oh god, what happened? Who won? Tekla won, and then Tekla, something must have happened here for me. Tekla hopped on the mic.
Yeah, she grabbed it. I mean, she mostly just screamed, though. I mean, my big takeaway was like, oh, she does have an Austrian accent, and I don't know what she said at all, because it was mostly screaming.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. And then there was everyone's coming out, the Triangle of Madness, the other girls, Julia Hart, Sky Blue, they're coming out, Toni Storm's coming out, and then the Death Riders came out and had a little interlude with Chris.
Do you think Yuta is going to interfere in the four-way in some way?
Ooh. Oh. I hadn't thought about it, but that would be kind of fun. I did think Yuta and Chris here had such a funny, like, sibling energy, because the way Chris was kind of like, get out of here, you're so annoying, was, like, the tone that she was yelling at him in, which is so funny.
Well, they do have the same biological mother. And then Mercedes came out to commentate on Riho versus Robin Renegade, and she was so insane. The outfit was so crazy, but she looked so cute.
Yeah.
She looked so cute. And she
was she barefoot when she came out?
I don't know. I have no, she can't have come out barefoot. She must have kicked the shoes off at commentary. She looked, I don't know what it was about this look, but I just immediately started apologizing for her. You know, I was just like, that's such bad behavior, but you're just a baby. You don't know any better. You're just a sweet girl.
Is she only 26, maybe?
She's only 26. She knows that she's naive. I think that's all we have for, there's going to be a big tornado tailgate brawl, that, and there was a little promo for that, but I don't think there was much content-wise in there. So I
for
think that's probably
a 3-hour show, the women really did not get much of it. Like, they didn't show up at all until like 9:45. So like 2 hours in almost.
Yeah.
It was pretty shocking. A little bit, kind of.
I was a little scandalized. I mean, I think it's the pacing. It just seemed like they added 10 minutes to every show and otherwise just booked it kind of like a regular Dynamite. But it was like, even so.
Yeah, I felt. Yeah, I don't know. I'm too stupid to comment, but could have had a couple more women out there.
Could have had a couple more.
Cope and Christian had an in-ring back and forth with FTR, and it was mostly FTR speaking. And what do you guys think about that?
I had such a hard time paying attention to this because both FTR and Cope and Christian both kept talking about which one of them is the best tag team of all time. And I was like, do not stand on All Elite Wrestling's stage and dare to say either of you are in the fucking running.
Yeah, when FTR was like, we've spent the last 11 years like carrying tag team wrestling, it was like, okay, that's not correct
and
at all.
As I understand it from other people, like osmosing knowledge unwillingly, I don't even think they were a tag team for that long.
Who, the FTR?
Oh, Cope and Christian. Did you say FTR?
Oh, yeah, like,
I
said
I think
FTR.
They've been together this whole time.
Yeah,
but Cope said something similar, where he was like, we revolutionized, we changed tag team wrestling. We're the heart of tag team wrestling. And I was like, I think you were a tag team for a very short amount of time.
I know. It's kind of funny to be like, you should just say, like, we've been best friends our whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. That's kind of the ultimate tag team. It has nothing to do with the wrestling. It's like, being a tag team isn't about wrestling together. It's about wrestling with life together.
What are you wrestling with this week? I know. This was a segment where it was very like, yeah, what I always say good TV is when four men scream their resumes at each other for 15 to 20 minutes. Just like, come on, guys, get it together.
It's like almost funny at certain points. Like, I really was trying to give it the old college try and be like, Allie, do you just shut them out because you don't like them? Like, just pay attention to what they're saying. It could be something pretty interesting.
No,
it wasn't.
It was legitimately bad because, like, Cash's part of the promo where he was like, yeah, like, Cope, you helped us and you let us live with you and you did everything for us and you got the door open for us. And then Cope was like, shut up. I let you live with me. I got the door open. And I was like, yeah, that's what he said. Like, that's not a dispute. He's agreed to those facts.
You wanted to get a mediator in there to be like, when I listen to you, I'm hearing the same thing from everybody.
They're like dogs. They only understand tone. It's like you're yelling things at me. Now I'm mad too.
It did just feel like, sometimes this is one of the most like quietly annoying things in wrestling is where it's just like you don't have enough stuff to say for the amount of time that this segment is like it would be better, all of this would be totally acceptable if we just said it less than we are or
like you got 1 pound of promo in a 10-pound bag here. This is not working.
Let me say something else I haven't said for a long time. If you're gonna say like, I stayed in your house because I was homeless, let's take that, which is kind of an abstract thing to say, and maybe let's think of a specific moment, a specific detail. I remember showing up on your front porch like it had just snowed for the first time. Like, I didn't even have a coat because I was homeless, I guess. I don't know. Like,
you brushed the snowflakes out of my hair. My hands were cold, and you put them under your shirt to warm them. I remember everything. Down the stairs, I was there. I remember it.
Yeah, paint us a picture. Come on.
Tonally, I think it might be a little more like Constantine came walking down the stairs.
I would love it if they just put Constantine on repeat and sort of let that give them a tone for the promo. Yeah.
I actually think that would be a great song to use for background music in like a really emotional package someday. Yeah. I don't know for who, but like if you got hit with a little Constantine, like I think mind would just explode.
Tony, you're millennial. Like bias Constantine. And then when Mox says, "I love Darby more than anyone," or whatever, you've just got Constantine in the background.
Doesn't she look good?
I would give anything. Like this in that moment, I wanted so badly to work for AEW because I want to be the one who calls Andrew McMahon and says, "How much for us to use Constantine in the back of our wrestling promo?"
It's we just need to use it for 1 3-minute package.
And don't worry, it'll score a moment that's pretty similar to what the song's about. If your third eye is open.
Very tasteful, very emotional.
Very tasteful. If you called Andrew McMahon and told him, "Don't worry, it'll be very tasteful," I feel like it might raise more questions than answers.
I don't know why this is somehow the funniest thing we've said on our podcast ever to me right
now. I know.
I really do want to go teach myself to vid so I can take like the Mox promo and just cut it with Constantine.
Oh my god. I know.
Oh, wow. You just want me to keep talking about this shit? Oh god.
Man, I would love Cope and Christian to just really lean into a Constantine kind of energy, because like please. In this promo, like they were kinda, their body language was pretty similar and they're so like of a height and their hair is the same color, which is very weird from childhood best friends. It's like you just pick someone who looked the same as you.
Yeah.
But like when they were leaning on the ropes and like when they just kind of looked like fed up, I was like, I'm interested. I'm telling myself a little cloud story around this.
That was such a fun moment because Christian was doing his bit where he leans on the ropes and looks disdainful at the audience. And then Cope mirrored him. But then he kept looking over at Christian to be like, "Did you notice me? I'm doing the same face. Did you notice it? You love it. Look at this. We're both making the same face. Sync. Look at it." And like, I was like, I would love to watch the two of them a tag team where Christian is like trying to stay an ice princess and Cope's like, "Come on. Come on.
Buddy.
Don't you want to have some fun with me? I love being here with you." I thought it was pretty funny that so he did that. He was like, Cope and Cage. And then Christian stole the mic and said Cage and Cope, which was very funny. Christian, they can never make me hate you. But I love that the crowd immediately was just like, "Yeah, that one." And they started chanting Cage and Cope. And it was kind of like, I'd love to know what you guys think about any, you know, it's like, who do you think is on whose side? Like who is, when you like are looking at the crowd and what they want, like, do you understand that like Cope should be moving to Cage? And I think you do.
Right.
I feel like more and more I'm feeling like, I think they're at least figuring it out. Although, you know, prove me wrong, but.
Well, they just got to get past this FTR feud now. I mean, once they get past that, we have an opportunity to have some fun, but.
Yeah. I don't know why I just still can't internalize that they are going to keep wrestling after that. And I keep being like, I think it's their retirement.
You know, FTR would love to retire them.
Well, that's why. It's that I'm like, surely that's what they want.
I love moment where you asked Jeremy that. You were like, "Do you think they're going to retire soon?" And he was like, "No."
So politely, it's like, stupid. No,
certainly not. I think his answer was like, "I think they're going to milk it as long as they humanly can."
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, okay. Well, you know, then we'll just get in touch with Andrew McMahon and we can go from there.
We can go from there. That's first things first.
Let's just start with what's really vital and then we'll see what we have to work with.
Yeah.
I think
Andrew McMahon's really going to help us out with a lot of these issues, frankly.
Well, maybe he could like start, like he could be our Adam
Adam Schlesinger.
Where he just like starts writing little songs for AEW and like composing stuff for promos. That would rule.
Wow. Yeah, let's.
Should I listen to only Jack's Mannequin for the next week? I think I feel that for myself.
You listen to only Jack's Mannequin. Jack's
Mannequin. Yeah,
I'll be listening to only Something Corporate. Yeah, and sure. I have to say, while we have him on the phone, hey, we got a proposition for you. Let's see if we can get some other songs out of him too. Like, let's see if he wants to sell us a bundle, because I can definitely think of some other songs that we could get some great wrestling packages going to.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine doing like a fun like face vid set to Swim?
I see the vision.
I really think if all wrestling packages were set to Andrew McMahon songs, I think that could revitalize my love of wrestling for 2-3 years.
I'd be locked in.
We gotta get on the horn with Tony.
Yeah, Tony, please. And it's like, this is surely it's pennies on the dollar to get a Something Corporate song. I mean,
They're not banging down the door for, which is unfair because
it's unfair. No, you know, we're saying it with like, we love the songs, but it's like Target isn't trying to buy them.
Right. But you're not hearing them in the grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he would sell it cheap to us anyways, because he'll be so intrigued by our proposal.
Right. Once he hears like, that it's going to be tasteful.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be the first song for your mixtape, you know? It's going to be good stuff.
Wow.
Wow.
Wrestling's back, baby.
Oh my God. A Cope and Christian vid set to MFEO part one.
Oh my God. We might have to do a little of this work ourselves. If Tony won't work with us, we may have to do a little of this work ourselves.
Tony, you've left it in our hands again.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
At our pumps, every pump is going to be scored to Andrew McMahon. Something Corporate.
Could we have, okay, what if we called our store, like what's our pumps for us is our gas station, right? But what if the name of our little store was like Something Corporate Headquarters? Just a little fun.
And Andrew McMahon will live there part-time.
Yeah. He'll be a writer in residence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll treat him well, too.
Oh, yeah. Really he'll be paid very well. Yeah.
Real. Oh, we'll treat him real.
We're Renaissance patrons now.
The arts are going to flourish in the middle of nowhere at this gas station.
Yeah, just mostly just the 2000s pop punk related arts.
How fast do you guys think we'll run out of money?
Oh, so quickly. No, like infinite. Faster than the Young Bucks.
It's infinite. It's infinite money. Because when you have enough and you've invested it.
Our investments are doing great, so yeah.
Our investments are doing really, really, really good. And other rich people are joining our cause every day. They're all wanting to be a part of this great experiment.
Yeah, the artist colony that we've created.
Okay. Big Bill had a promo on Dynamite talking about fighting Eddie Kingston. I think I tuned all of this out. But in fairness, I was defending Big Bill. Our friends had said, like, I don't like him. And I said, no,
my God.
I love him. That's our sweet, tall boy.
Have they seen his knee get stuck in a tree? Like, yeah.
Yeah. He Winnie the Pooh, guys. He Winnie the Pooh. So I think I missed most of this content. Can anyone speak to it for me?
It was just like, go ahead.
No, it was just nothing. It's like, Big Bill is doing a feud entirely himself, a one-sided feud, and he, as much as I love him, I don't think he has the charisma to do it, because the vibe crazy. Is very much like he's new to improv, and someone just said, like, why don't you get up there and do a quick little scene for us? And he's like, I'm nervous, but I'll try my best.
It is so crazy that this is how they're bringing Eddie Kingston back, where it's like, so you're doing a one-sided feud where Big Bill talks and Eddie Kingston doesn't talk.
Right.
I don't get it. Disrespectful
to Eddie. It's like, the thing that Eddie is the best at is building feuds out of nothing.
Yeah. You could promo on a cookie, but you're letting the cookie promo instead.
I get, the only thing I keep thinking is I'm like, I guess if you like don't want him to be seen until the show, but even then I would do a package.
Yeah.
Like if you're telling us that he's coming back, I would do a package with past, you know, some like past highlights and like past promo lines and stuff, you know, it's like,
well, it's like, it's just clearly, it should be a big, exciting surprise when Eddie shows back up. It's like choice number one. And then if you are going to show him ahead of time, which is crazy, it's like, yeah, do a package or have him promo from home or whatever. Like, but it's crazy to let everybody know he's coming back. Like, people are going to be psyched. Are you not aware that people are going to be psyched?
It's weird because it's like, it doesn't feel that real, honestly. Like, I keep being like, maybe we shouldn't even be talking about this.
No, honest to God.
But it's real, right?
When the graphic was going around that said Big Bill versus Eddie at All Out, for some reason, I was like straight up convinced. I was like, oh, that's fan made. Someone made that as a joke.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I was convinced for a really long time until like last night. I was like, oh, I guess it is. It's actually happening. It just feels so disrespectful.
It does. It's it feels crazy.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's worse, I think. But like when Jamie Hayter came back, also to like very minimal fanfare. And it was just like, she was so over when she left. Like, why? I don't understand what's happening with these two.
Yeah. I don't really get it. Yeah.
And it's like, why do we bring like Adam Cole back with so much fanfare? Like, no offense to Adam Cole, but it's like, I feel like the crowd likes Eddie Kingston more than Adam Cole.
The crowd likes Eddie Kingston more than almost everybody. Like, Eddie Kingston is like the fucking guy.
I guess if you didn't want to put him in the Death Riders feud and you didn't want him to overshadow Darby, then like whatever. But like, honest, I would rather have Max Caster come out in the middle of All Out and be like, 5 minutes on the board and have it be fucking Eddie.
Oh my god. That would be the best way to bring him back, honestly. I just popped so hard.
Why aren't you the booker?
And our pumps, Eddie, that's exactly what would happen.
Eddie comes out to Constantine.
I have the biggest heart boner right now just thinking about Eddie coming back to Constantine to fight Squash Max Caster.
Wow.
That, we could have had it all.
Instead, we have nothing. And I like Big Bill, but it's not.
I know.
It's just a disrespectful way to treat one of the babes.
Because I think it does just feel like it's like, it's like, of course, it'll be good. And any way we see Eddie will be great. But it's like, do you not even want me to have a, like, a real panty dropper of a moment? Like, come on. Like, you don't want me to have a, like, a really sexy, shocking, like, ooh la la during your pay-per-view? Yeah.
Those
kind of
moments.
But you want me to pay $40 on HBO Max for it? No.
It's true. It's like those kind of moments of pure, like, shock and joy. Like, that's what wrestling is for. That's why I sit through all the nonsense, you know? And
you take my pleasure away from me, Tony? You steal from me my one and only pleasure?
The only way you can make this up is by buying Constantine and using it at every show.
And buying a full bundle of something corporate and Jack Mannequin songs.
There's going to be so many people listening to this who are like, who? What?
You gotta know, guys. Come on. You guys were in your basement with the lights off listening to something corporate. Come on.
Pop punk is the only way to live.
Yeah. Anyway. Nick Jackson gambled away possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars on BTE this week.
I'm obsessed with this dynamic that I don't think that they've like shown before.
They haven't explored to this extent.
Certainly. Nick is just profligate, just absolutely does not give a shit. While Matt is just following behind and being like, maybe we could hold on to a little bit of the money though.
I don't think we've ever seen quite this level of like nervous, stressed out parent from Matt Jackson, who's totally just like, we should be putting that in an IRA. Yeah.
So you can actually spend $500,000 really quick. You know? No. The kids are in private school.
It does feel like he realized that relatively recently, but Nick won't realize it perhaps for many years. I thought after they did a very funny thing with Brandon Cutler on BTE, which was, I was really delighted by Brandon. Mm-hmm. Just like doing his whole long thing that they didn't listen to, and then just being like, oh, fuck it, I'm back in the game.
And it was so funny because it's like, yeah, that's what every boy says. Like, they're like, they got me again. What am I supposed to do? Resist the Young Bucks?
They that, literally like, said sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry you felt that way. Such good stuff, yeah.
And then Nick gambled all the money away. I thought after the segment that they had only spent, I thought he was saying they'd only spent $10,000. I was like, that's amazing. But no, it seems like it was closer to $250. then they went to TV for the week, and Nick said, you can solve any problem with money. So he's just handing people money to be like, stop being mean to us.
When he gave the fan money for having a good sign, I fucking lost it.
The fact that they're carrying the duffel bag around.
Just so they can keep passing it out.
Yeah.
We're right. They only deal in cash.
And not to jump to this, but at the very end when they like were leaving and Matt was like gathering the money that had fallen off and started stuffing it back in the bag. I'm like, it's so funny.
Yeah, his frantic energy.
Incredible. I know. Well, because Nick tried to bribe Rick Knox midway through the match. Man, really great.
And Rick Knox has suddenly gotten morals and is too good for it, even though he's let the Young Bucks buy him off for 5 years.
Well, I think it was just that one time 5 years ago that we never got any closure on.
Yeah, I think he's been crooked for a while.
What evidence?
Wow, should we have a point counterpoint? Sit down and have a little civil debate? A little exchange of ideas?
I like that Allie's vibe is like, a ref? I don't think so.
How dare you?
Rick Knox, you question his integrity?
What evidence? Oh my gosh. He's certainly been crooked before. I don't know what he's been doing the past couple of years, you know, but... Anyway, he has morals now, and he didn't want... Maybe he was just like, "This. Where has this money been? It's so grubby." It actually looked really clean and, like, unused. So.
Maybe, in fact, like, printer paper?
Could be printer paper.
When Nick yelled, "Real USD," it was like, wow, social suplex listener.
He's tuned in. Oh my gosh. The only thing that worries me, I love Nick spending profligately and Matt being like, maybe we save a little bit of money though. The only thing that troubles me is that I think, is this how Don gets in there? Is this how Don drives a wedge?
Yeah.
That worries me.
I don't like it. I'll get really stressed out. I'll get a tummy ache.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll all get tummy aches.
Do you need Matt to reassure you through the television again?
Yeah. Matt, if you could just say something maybe on the pay-per-view, that would be ideal.
Just be like, no one will ever put a wedge between us. Don't worry.
Yeah, Matt, if you carry a red rose out to the ring, then Leah will know not to worry.
In your teeth, please. Please, in your teeth. Come out for the pay-per-view with a red rose between your teeth.
This episode, is it going to come out before the pay-per-view?
It could. Maybe not long enough to find that red rose, though.
I'm predicting, so it could.
It could.
Wow, there you go.
Well.
If I have to get my message to Matt, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Matt, if you don't have time to listen before the pay-per-view, you can do it at the following Dynamite. That's fine. Red Rose anytime. We'll know what it means.
That's so good, yeah. And because they do have very busy schedules. So that's good that we put that out there, yeah. Anything else to say about the Young Bucks or this? I didn't even know this was happening. This four-way ladder match was happening until this match.
And
I don't think they were fighting. They fought the Bang Bang Gang.
Which Juice is really fun to watch, and he's getting his Animal from the Muppets look back, which is reassuring.
Thank God.
It's a relief. Yeah. It's a real relief. And I actually thought that Austin Gunn looked very arresting throughout this match. He was wearing the weirdest pants of all time, and he was moving with kind of like, it was, I don't know, there was a gazelle-like grace to the movements, but then the pants were covered in, like, you know, pom-poms, basically, so the overall effect was so novel that I just couldn't take my eyes off it.
Are you excited for Jungle Boy to come back?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, let's talk about it. Well, so there was a little tease on BTE. He sent them a knife that he made, the bucks. Mm-hmm. He sent Matt
a
knife.
He made using a horn, apparently.
Mm. Oh, like some did kind you of animal see, you horn. Saw more information.
I guess he posted You've an Instagram story. Information. Instagram. He posted an Instagram story about how he made the knife.
Wow. Okay, I'll go look at that. He sent the knife, and he said, like, fuck off.
It's like, use this next time you want to put a knife in my back, or you want to stab me in the back, something
That's
like that.
That's actually so flirty. Like, that, of course, that is what a middleman would do, you know?
Yeah, of course, when you're trying to get him back, you're going to be a little mean to him, and that's what the Bucks like sometimes, too, so it's fun.
Yeah. He's like, they're going to love this. So then he's coming back at some point soon.
I mean,
you mean you have more? Well, I've been assuming for about 6 months. So.
I know, but it kind of seems like the Bucks are on their own trying to drum up interest in him. So then people will force Tony to bring Jungle Boy back. I have no idea if
you think Tony that he's being. You think Tony is keeping Jungle Boy from TV, and that the Bucks are attempting to create a grassroots movement?
Yeah,
so powerful that it cannot be ignored.
And you don't think that's possible?
I don't know. I don't think it's impossible, I guess. I keep, like, to me, it's gotten to the point where I'm like, is Jungle Boy the one who's like, I don't want to come back to work, I'm working on my knives? And they're just being like, no, we'll get you back. Come on.
They're like, just mail me that knife, buddy.
So the grassroots,
Matt wrote the note himself.
The grassroots campaign is actually just to pressure Jungle Boy into coming back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Of course, I'm like, I think before the past 6 pay-per-views, I've been like, I bet JB's coming back this one, and he sure has not yet. But I guess the other thing, potentially a contributing factor here, let's say, we did have another Jetspeed fought Killswitch and Kip Sabian with Mother Wayne ringside. And I guess Mother Wayne and Kip Sabian learned the wrong lessons from abusive papa, Christian Cage, because they are handing on misery to man, and they are now treating poor Luchasaurus like the abused family dog and kicking him, and it's really, really unfair. And so someone has to help him, because for him now, it's been like 3 years of this. Like, no one has saved him.
No.
His poor spirit. And maybe it could be someone with a knife. Maybe Mother Wayne is knifed.
I'd love to see Jungle Boy feud with Mother Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he has his own mother who's been on TV. What if he brought his mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, what if everybody brought their moms to work?
Yeah. Everyone bring their hot moms to work. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Christian really hit on JB's mom. I almost forgot.
Yeah. And she has that amazing hair. Oh, the girls in that family are just.
Yeah.
It took you right back to the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so then I keep being like, well, I guess maybe he could come back there. If he's being like, I don't want to be with the Young Bucks, like, that could be a fun reunion.
Yeah.
Older, wiser. They've been hurt more, but
I'd love it. I'd love if he came out on Luchasaurus' shoulders again.
I think I would cry, honestly, if they, like, if, like, he ran out to save Luchasaurus and then he and Luchasaurus hugged. I really think I would cry. I think I feel a little emotional just thinking about it.
I know. That would really move me. And it just did occur to me, Christian and Cope doing a retirement run. If you set up a little JB Luchasaurus feud, you call back to some of Christian's earlier stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could be pretty fun.
Could be
and
fun.
Luchasaurus is very tall and Cope is very tall. And he just fought the...
Yeah, totally.
I'm connecting the dots.
You're connecting the dots. Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. Never mind. Anyway, so that's a possibility. You know, any thoughts? Any other thoughts about little Jungle Boy?
No.
Come home.
Well, this is the one. Yeah.
Please come back. Please come back. And then we just had this little skit. Now, what is the stipulation for the MJF match? It's that
tax and something.
Tax and tables.
Oh, yeah.
That's nothing. Oh,
that is
come
nothing.
On. Don't be a pussy. But but MJF was like, I can't with the tax and the tables. I'm furious about these stipulations. I'm taking this right to the top. And he barged into Tony Khan's office, which just a little area. And he said, "Tony, how dare you book this match?" It slammed the door behind him. And then we had like a documentary style. The cameras aren't in there, but they're still on the mics. And Tony's in there being like, "I definitely hear you." Like, he was, I don't remember what he said.
He was like, "You actually disgraced AEW with how you treated the contracted. I don't have to listen to you, and I'm not scared of you at all."
I think MJF was saying something like, "Oh, big boy can really stand up for himself now." Like, that was the tone. It was so funny to do this, like, as a purely auditory. Mm-hmm. And I really did think that it was just not the only reason, because it's probably better to do it this way, but it was like, there's no way Tony could have done this acting. Like, he has to be able to have a little laugh to himself, like, "Oh, we're play acting."
It was so fun. His little dweeb voice trying to be really, really firm.
I know. The only thing I craved that they could not have done, really, but when MJF stormed back out, I thought that Tony was going to peek through the blind and watch him leave. And I wanted to see it so bad.
That'd be amazing. I mean, there was a real, like, you know, Michael from The Office vibe. Yeah, that we could have leaned into a little more for sure.
Well, just a note for next time. Yeah. I think that's everything on the agenda. Was there anything you wanted to talk about that you didn't get a chance to talk about?
The only thing I briefly want to say, I watched just before we got on, thank you, Chai Mothboy, the fact that Jerry Lynn told Anthony Bowens that he should get back together with Max Caster is so funny, because imagine someone that you trust and who's very serious about it looks at you and says, "You are connected by the red string of fate to the most annoying person in the world. And there's nothing you can do about it. You are eternally linked to this man who drives you crazy, and you should give up trying to fight it." That's so funny.
That's actually one of the greatest romantic tropes, in my opinion. Yeah. I'll say that.
They're settling soulmates. It's the only thing that's wrong with him is that you hate him. You should just get married.
I don't understand. It's good that you started saying that, because the second you started talking, I was like, oh my God, right. I didn't even put that on the schedule. Why is Jerry Lynn involved?
I don't know, but who was it? Oh, it was that the Vanilla Baby guy was like, "Jerry Lynn, why are you involved? Are you the next daddy ass and you just want to coast on their coattails?" I'm going to say something kind of disgusting, though, and I'm so sorry that I know this. I think it's because Jerry Lynn was in ECW and they were then the ECW Leah. Arena. I'm so sorry that I said
they were
that
in
you.
The ECW Arena.
That Philly thing that was like,
yeah. Oh, so last, you think that's why Jerry Lynn appeared last at, week, and now Collision, he's just a part of the storyline.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I did like
that. I'm disgusted
by
the facts on
it. It's pretty fucked up, but
I'm really sorry. But I did like that Blake Christian was like, "Are you the next daddy ass? Like, are you another old guy trying to coast their coattails?" And I was like, yeah.
Max Caster's taking everyone on his coattails, which is pretty funny when you think about it. Everyone just wants to hitch their wagon to that star.
Right. Max Caster is carrying everyone on his huge ass.
What an image.
Really clear visual. Yeah.
And I'm just imagining, though, that he's just like, it's like he's on like the, you know, like the laughing gas from Mary Poppins or something, where it's like people keep being like, "Max, come back down here now." And he's like, "I can't. I don't even know why I keep going up. Just keep rising." Well, we'll see how it all goes. Are they doing something at the pay-per-view?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Too bad. Should be bringing Eddie Kingston back.
Should be bringing Eddie Kingston back. Yeah. And that could, then you could bring, well, I don't know. That wouldn't work. Okay. Don't worry about it. That's all. I think that's gotta be it.
End recording.
Stop recording. Siri, play Constantine. Of course, that is what I'm going to do the second we get off this call.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Of course.
Of course. That's
exactly. It's really brought a little light to the evening.
Oh, yeah. Perked me right up.
Okay. On the
just long pause. We're all just thinking. Love that song so much. Such a good song.
It's great to listen to when you're on a train. Like if you're anytime you're in transit and you can really get lost in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember, Allie, one of the first times that you and I hung out in real life, we listened to actual Constantine, and then it's immediately after it ended, I made you listen to the mashup with Jay-Z's song Cry, which is, I think, twice the length of Constantine. So it was like fully like 15 minutes of Constantine-related songs.
This is vaguely ringing a bell, but I don't know when that was, but... I love that for us. I bet I loved it. I'm sure I was happy.
It's That's a how great mashup.
We could be friends.
Hey, if on Leah's recommendation corner, look up Constantine Song Cry mashup.
Next summer, it's going to be 2 weeks of What's Making Me Happy, and then week three is Leah's recommendation corner. No emotions about it. No one's privacy needs to be invaded.
Just brushing her hand. She says, just another recommendation out the door. No problem for me, boss. And honestly, if you could see her face right now, I think she really looks kind of lit up.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, that's going to make my life way better.
Wow.
And branding is so important, you know, so.
I'm always saying that. And on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
The brand is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, Twitch, and Blue Sky at Tunnel Talk Pod via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. We have a souvenir stand. You can find it at chop-tees.com. You can find us on our feed, on the Social Suplex Network feed, where you can check out all the other great podcasts on the network. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Network Discord. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Stay frosty. And as always, please... come back next week. Stop recording. My Constantine, you spin around me like a dream. We played out on this movie screen. And I said, did you know I missed you? Did you know I miss 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 you? I miss you.